Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connections. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're excited to have you with us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time-ish. And we're just glad that we always start off with song, scripture, and prayer. So we'd like to invite you to join us again tonight. Our theme for tonight is we're excited about it. Our theme for tonight is sharing your life message. Sharing your life message. We're so excited about that. God's blessings be with you. Amen. Eric, if you're online tonight, if you would please read this Bible scripture for tonight. Are you online? Let's try again. We got people who are trying to get in.
Can you hear me?
Let's try. We hear you now. We couldn't get you through. Now we hear you.
Okay. Tonight's readings, they'll be to the first one is 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, with an emphasis on verse 10. The second one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10, with an emphasis on verse 8. The first reading, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and really, that isn't difficult. For every child of God defeats this evil world by trusting Christ to give them the victory. And the ones who win this battle against the world are the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. And the Spirit also gives us the testimony that this is true. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the testimony that comes from God, and God has testified about his Son. Verse 10, all who believe in the Son of God know that this is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. This is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So whoever has God's Son has life. Whoever does not have his Son does not have life. That was 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, with an emphasis on verse 10. The second reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. And we talk to our God and Father about you. We think of your faithful works, your loving deeds, your continual anticipation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God loves you, dear brothers and sisters, and that he chose you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know that the way we lived among you was further proof of the truth of our message. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you yourselves became an example to all the Christians in Greece. And this is verse 8. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Greece. For everywhere we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they themselves keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from the idols to serve the true and living God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. I have read for you 1 John 5, 1 through 12, with an emphasis on verse 10, as well as 1 Thessalonians verses 1 through 10, with an emphasis on verse 8. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, understanding, hearing, and the action of his holy word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Would you come to the Lord with me in prayer? Oh, gracious and Mighty God, we come before you asking that you would bless us tremendously tonight, as this is a really important lesson that we're going to be talking about, sharing our life message. And Lord, this is what we're created to do, so that we can continue to share the word of God, that we can continue to testify, to witness, and to have people to love you like we love you. So as we come before you tonight, we have a handful of people who are on the line presently, but there are thousands out there waiting to hear this message so they can conform and to grow and to transform their lives and to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. And so we ask you, O God, to bless us. We ask you to walk with us. We ask you to teach us. We ask that you would empower us this night to get it right about having that intimate relationship with you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we go forward tonight, we are excited about having that intimate relationship with the Lord. And not only will we have that intimate relationship, but we want to tell other people about having an intimate relationship with God. And we want it to be so powerful because we want it to be part of our passion. We want it to be part of who we are. We want everything to honor you, God. We want everything to just be authentic. And I think that's what's missing in life today. When we go and we talk to people, they don't see authenticity. They don't see that we can't do anything but share the passion that's in our heart, the love that's in our heart, because of what God has done for us, that we would be remiss if we did anything but testify about the goodness of the Lord and how he has brought us through. I don't know about y'all, but I just get excited thinking about it, because I know that, you know, if it weren't for the Lord, where would I be? And so that's exactly the passion that God is looking for you to talk about sharing your life message. So as we start tonight, I wanted to ask a question. Who is on the line? We want to get a roll call. And if you've got friends and family, we ask you to take a second and invite somebody to come with you and join in the study tonight, because we are going to really have a good time in the Lord, and we're going to praise God for what God is going to do, as we are going to help people understand tonight of what they need to do to share their life message. Amen? Amen.
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 Amen. So who's on the line tonight?
Brother Mateo.
Brother Mateo, where you been? Who else is on
How
the line?
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. We missed you. You haven't been on the line. We're going to talk about you.
Yes, ma'am.
Glad
yes,
you're here.
Ma'am.
Glad you're here. Just teasing. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Amen. So who else is on the line tonight? We beat up. Who else?
Dr. Susan Disabrett. I want everybody to know that we got two more lessons after tonight, and that'll conclude this book. Next week it'll be balancing your life, and then after that, living the purpose.
Amen. And then we will be focusing on Revelations. We're going to get that book to everybody as well. We're going to try to get the name of it, and you guys will have to go and get your book from Amazon. But we'll try to get it out this week. We'll try to get it out this week. So who's we got Brett on the line. We've got Mateo on the line. I heard Eric on the line. Who else is on the line with us tonight?
Brian from Maine.
We got Brian from Maine on the line. Who else?
I am Dale.
We got Dale on the line from Maine. All right, we got Dale from Maine. Amen. Who else is on the line? We got Eric and who? Okay, we got somebody else who just came in. Who else is on
Mark
the line
Bryan.
Tonight? We got Mark Bryan on the line with us tonight. Amen, Mark Bryan. All right.
Amen.
So, Brother Eric on the line. We remember. What'd you say? What'd Brett say?
That's a good thing I was sitting down when I heard that name. Hey, Mark.
Hey, man.
All right.
Hey,
man.
Dr.
Susie getting the band back together.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we're going to have a preaching session here going on. I hear you.
Man.
All right.
Amen. So as we go on tonight, we'll have others join us. And we've got a really big group tonight, and we've got people on the line that have said that they're going to be here, but they're not going to do a whole lot of talking. They wanted to listen, and they're more than welcome to listen. And whenever you feel comfortable, that's when you can join in whenever you'd like. As we get started tonight, Brother Eric and I are going to teach the lesson, and those of you who are interested, you jump in. And this, what ends up happening with our Bible study is that we all teach, and the idea is we're teaching one another. And if there are questions that you have, you feel free to call into the line, and that number is 646-478-4932, and you can engage with us as well. So as we join, we're inviting you to have other people join with us. We have people on the line from Kentucky to Oklahoma to Indianapolis to Ohio and Maine. So we've got people scattered about. And so the whole idea is that we want to serve the Lord. And this is getting ready to get pretty deep. We've been enjoying Rick Warren's The End of His Purpose-Driven Life because we wanted to have some foundations that we looked at and gave us clarity about who we are in the Lord. And so once we get that, we're going to do something really major. We're going to jump right in to Revelations and start to talk about that. That is a very intense book, and we're asking that, we're asking that those of you would get involved and be meticulous about joining us and sharing your knowledge of that as well. One of the things we always say here is everybody may have a different perspective, and that's all right. The Bible says for us to come and reason together, and that's what our goals are, to come and reason together, to have an ecumenical dialogue such that we can grow with the information that each of us has so that we would have a better understanding of who God is. Is there anybody else? Is there Joan from Maine? I thought I saw Joan's phone number, but maybe I didn't. All right, then. So we're going to get started tonight. And as we get started, there are a couple of things that I want to say before we get going. That in the studio, if I say to you, amen, brother, or amen, sister, and since that's not good enough, I may have to say, amen, brother. And everybody else is going to start laughing. So that means cut your stuff short so that we can move on as you're telling your story, because many of us have wonderful stories. And that's kind of what we would like to do tonight is get some of those life messages out. But you need to be succinct. We only got a little time to be on the line tonight. So we just thank God for your witness and your stories, and we thank God for all the Christians who are here, and we're just asking that you would continue to keep a mindset that you are sharing the Word of God, and as you do so, people are listening, and what you say does matter. So process what you're saying before you say it, because people all over the world are listening to try to better their lives. And, you know, that's what it's about, talking about it, working it through, and none of us have it perfect. So amen to that. As we get started, Eric, are you there? and we are going to work together tonight. I want to start us off. I'm going to ask Eric to read those texts again, if you will, so we can be focused in the text as we launch right into it.
Doctor, do you just want the emphasis text or the whole text in the rest of the time?
Yeah, the emphasis text.
So the emphasis text, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, it's actually 10a. All who believe in the Son of God knows that this is true. All who believe in the Son of God knows that this is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they do not believe what God has testified about his Son. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 reads as thus, and now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Greece. Wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it.
Amen. Amen for the word. Amen.
Amen
so
to that.
That's the text. That's the text. So my question for you is, after hearing the text, after listening to the scriptures we've had this evening, what does it mean to you to be God's messenger? So I'd like everybody to get involved and to answer questions tonight. Brother Mark, you know when you get on the line, I'm going to mess with you. So what does it mean to you to be God's messenger?
Well, what it means to me is it's given the awesome responsibility and opportunity to not only be in relationship with God, but to extend his word and to let others know how we are to be reconciled unto him and to give him praise. That's what it means to me.
Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else who would dare tell me what it means to them before I call on their name?
this is Brian from Maine.
To be God's messenger, Brian from Maine.
This is Brian from Maine. For me, it's the greatest privilege of my life. Of everything I've done, everything I've represented, everything I've attempted, being his messenger is by far and above everything else the greatest blessing and the greatest opportunity and the greatest privilege of my life.
Amen. Anybody else? What does it mean to you to be God's messenger? Just quickly. Jump in there. Eric.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. So short and sweet, what it means to be God's messenger is that you need to tell a story about what God has done for you and why you love him to others so that they can feel the same things that you do.
Amen. Amen. So tonight, if we're going to tell a story, we're going to tell our life message, there are four areas that Rick Warren wants us to look at. Our testimony, meaning how our relationships with Jesus began. Our life lessons, the things that were the most important things that we've learned. Our godly passion, what issues that God gave us to be passionate about. And the good news of salvation. So, we're going to start with the first one, which is our testimony. And so as we talk about our testimony, our life message includes that. What does it mean to have a testimony, Eric?
Our testimony is about, you know, how Christ has made a difference in our life. It's really our own story. It's not what we hear from the Bible. It's not the Bible story. It's our own story about what God has done in my life, what difference Jesus has made in my life, and they're really four things that you need to concentrate there, and one is that what was my life like before Christ, how I realized I needed Christ, how I committed my life to Christ, and the difference Jesus has made in my life. And that story is unique for everyone, and I think we fall short on telling that because we believe that, you know, telling people about Jesus is the preacher and the deacon and the trustee and the choir and the deaconess, and that's their job. We as members of the church, that's not
okay.
our job because we're not paid professionals to do that. But people want to know your story, and they really want to know your story if you're living like a Christian.
Amen.
If they can see the difference in you.
So what we're going to do is illustrate this. We're not going to be able for everybody to tell. We one person, we're asking, can we get one volunteer to do each of those four things? So who can tell me what that life, that BC? We're going to start with life before Christ. Life BC. Anybody scared?
Brian,
Eric, you was already
Brian,
talking. Why don't you go ahead and lead? Okay, Brian, go ahead.
Brian volunteers.
Life before Christ. All right.
Life before Christ, I was an extremely angry, extremely arrogant, condescending, self-assured, budding scientist at the top of my game. Was getting A's in all my courses, was getting awards and grants that no other student had ever gotten before, and had a great image of what the future for me would look like. I also
Amen.
Cussed a lot. I also cussed a lot, used people poorly, would have steamrolled anybody if it helped me advance, and I enjoyed it. That was me before Christ.
Amen, 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 amen. So if any, how did you realize, I'm going to let you do the second one too, Brian, since you started it. How did you realize that you needed Jesus?
It happened unexpectedly and suddenly for me as a result of what was really a prayer, but I didn't view it as a prayer at the time. I could see other people around me who I had met who were Christians up in Canada where I was going to graduate school behave very differently than I did. They thought very differently than I did. They believed in this crazy thing called creation, which from a science point of view was just ludicrous. And I remember one time, one evening, I was angry at God. I was angry at God, and I remember praying, God, why would you put in the Bible that you created everything from scratch with your words and deceive everybody when we can clearly see that the history is evolution and we understand how this is happening and we're putting it together because we're such smart scientists. He answered my prayer the next day, and I saw everything differently. I could start seeing the cheating that was happening. I'd never seen it before. I could see the flaws in the science, which was mostly fabricated, and I didn't know how to handle it. The whole day went by. Everything I read, everything I touched, everything I saw, I could see the problems with it. And that evening, I knelt down before him, and I was saved as a result of that experience.
Amen. So that's also how you committed your life to Jesus. That's awesome. You share what your life was like before. You shared how you realized that you needed Jesus. You shared how you committed your life to Jesus. Now tell us the last element, the difference Jesus has made in your life.
The first noticeable thing, I was in the lab the next day after the prayer for salvation. And I was just kind of conducting my lab work. I had two employees, even though I was still a student. I had been able to hire people. And I was interacting with them. And one of the professors, who also was in the lab on a regular basis, told me about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, Brian, what happened to you? I said, well, what do you mean? He says, you have not sworn or cussed once today. What happened to you? I didn't dare to tell him. But I'm like, oh, my goodness, I am not swearing. I don't have any. I used to use the Lord's name 15 times an hour, at least. Hadn't cussed at all. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I actually went into the bathroom and I just kind of stood there by myself thinking, what has happened to me? How do I answer his question? I have no idea. But I'm a different man. And I knew that. So I transitioned from being, it took a while because I'm kind of stubborn, like not kind of stubborn, but very stubborn. But over the course of about a year, I transitioned from being a guy who you wouldn't want to know to being a man who you would want to know. But it took about a year for that to happen.
Amen. Amen. What an awesome testimony and a story.
Amen. But Brian, this is Eric. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God who answers prayers immediately?
It's amazing. Amazing that that is true.
And sometimes
we forget
that.
Amen. And the reality is each of us has these stories. Each of us need to be able to tell what our life was like before we met Jesus, how we realized we needed Jesus, how we were committed, and how we gave our life to Jesus, and then the difference that Jesus made in our lives. So I invite you tonight, this is my invitation to you, to do a, when we're getting ready to go get a job, we do a CV, curriculum vitae. I'm asking you to do a CR. A Christian resume. Write out all the problems, all the circumstances and the crisis that you've been through and how God has brought you through. I call it the Christian resume of hope. And what that is, hope is your heritage of previous experience, your Christian resume of hope. And you write down what God has done for you. Sit down and have a hallelujah time of celebration. Because when you get through writing, I guarantee you, you're going to be praising and shouting and thanking, and you're going to be jumping up and down, and you'll be all by yourself doing it. But you'll be so thankful as to what God has done for you and how he's brought you and never left you. Hallelujah. I just get excited thinking about it. Amen.
Amen.
The next thing we want to talk about tonight is how our life message includes our life lessons. So what are the truths that God has taught you? What have you learned from various experiences, and what insights do you have that you could, one of those that's very important to you, a life insight, just one, because I know you got a bunch of them, but anybody want to share a life insight that they learned from God as they've gone through an experience that might help somebody else? Everybody don't rush to volunteer.
Brother Mateo, how you doing?
Brother Mateo, hello. Glad to hear you, brother.
Thank you. How you doing?
Doing good. So let's hear that life lesson.
Life lesson that God has taught me is to test everything. So I try everything by the Spirit. Like, I learned to discern things when I never really had the blessing of discernment before. God taught me one of the most important lessons I've ever been taught is to test everything, to try everything. And I found that since I've been doing that, I've made so many corrections in my life, and it actually made me a better person because I don't just fall for anything now.
Brother Mateo, break that down. Give me an example, because there's some people that, that's a little bit above their heads. What does it mean when you say test everything? Give us an example, or try everything.
I'll give you one that has a couple in it, so there's different variations. One, I test people around me, like people's motivations. Why are they around me? What's the reason they're around me? How do they come around me? I test it by the word, like, I ask the questions that need to be asked. Music, how does music make me feel? If I listen to a song and it makes me feel like having sex, maybe I shouldn't listen to that type of music. If it makes me angry, if it makes me sad, maybe I shouldn't listen to that type of music. If I watch this television program and it's all about sex and gore and killing, maybe I shouldn't watch that. I try everything by the Bible. The Bible says how a man thinks he is, so I keep that stuff out of my life. Everything in my life, I'm
Amen.
Trying it by the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to share one of their life lessons? It's kind of slow tonight. Everybody ain't jumping up to talk. We got about 15 people on the line. Nobody talking. Who's next?
This is Brett.
All right, there. All right, Brett.
Okay. Well, I was surrounded by God and his angels, and my dad being a pastor and my mother being a Baptist Sunday school teacher. I can't tell you exactly when everything started falling for me so that I knew that it was God, but I was in the military and came home, and the church had a vacation Bible school, and they took the kids to a park, and they allowed them to go swimming. And my nephew disappeared, couldn't find him. I walked over to the pool and walked around the pool. I found him at the bottom of the pool. Between the lifeguard and I getting him out, he had no pulse, wasn't breathing. And as I helped her do the CPR, I prayed to God. Because I asked God, please do not let this child die, because my mother would be so upset. But his name is Gregory. He finally took a breath of air just as the paramedic came. I'm glad to say that he has gone on to live a full life, no brain damage or anything.
Amen.
He served as a paratrooper in the U.S. Army, and now he works for one of the cell phone companies. I knew then that God had answered my prayer, and I prayed for other people. And Dr. Seuss, you know, when I pray, it seems like things happen, people get a little bit better or something, but God answered the prayer. And so I know that my prayers are being heard by God. And I just ask that I'm living my life the way he wants me to so that I can be more effective. I know it's not me. I know it's God.
So the insider truth that you learned from God was to pray to God when things get challenging. What's the insight?
That God hears my prayers and he answers. So it is true. When people say God answers your prayers, he does.
Amen. That God answers prayer. Amen. Amen. We all can testify to God answering prayer. Amen. Is there anybody else? We'll take one more before we go to the next lesson. Anybody would like to share a life insight that they have learned?
This is Mark Bryant from Minneapolis. One of the things that I've learned in life is, and through this process, is to pray in expectation. Many of you all know that I came through cancer level one and having B cell lymphoma. And 6 months later, I found out that I had a polyp that they basically considered lung cancer. And most of you all know that you have a 6% chance of living through lung cancer. And as I was going through radiation, each time I would say this scripture, that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. And that was an expectation, recognizing that God has control of the situation beyond my thoughts, my feelings, my doubts, and fears. He is the author and finisher of my faith. So I was doing this process after I had remission of the first cancer. I was told to go to a thoracic surgeon to do a biopsy just to get a sample of it. And they said, well, we can't even do the biopsy because we're going to have to do a surgery, and it hasn't spread, but let's do this. Let's give this 3 months, and, you know, if it's got bigger, then we'll go ahead and do the operation. We'll do the biopsy, and then we'll have to do chemotherapy, and we'll have to take out part of your pancreas, and we'll have to do everything else to, you know, go through the process so that you'll live. And so 3 months passed by, and so I came into the office, and this is after they had done all of these different tests. And the nurse said, you know, the doctor will be in. He came and he said, you're the luckiest person in the world. He said, you can leave. And so I count that such a blessing. Having learned to, as we pray in expectation that no matter what the situation is, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If you put God first and you have that level of expectation that He can and He will, God will show Himself greater than you can ever imagine. So that's my blessing.
Amen.
That's my testimony.
Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark. David prayed,
Amen.
God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. And Rick Warren wants to understand that over and over, God rescues us. We've got story after story after story, right? But he's talking about the Israelites, and he says, even after God kept rescuing them, they never seemed to learn, right? One minute God rescued them, then they would murmur because they didn't have water. God rescued them, then they would murmur because they didn't have food. He gave them manna. God rescued them. I mean, they were never, never, ever happy. So finally, their sins destroyed them. Anybody know anybody like that? That God kind of opened up the door and helped them, and then they fool around, and then their own sins will destroy them. But what God wants us to know is that, number one, we can learn from our own personal lessons where God can give us insights. And secondly, we can learn from the insights and lessons of other people. So can anybody share a testimony that they learned from somebody else? What has God taught me from failure? What has God taught me from a lack of money? What has God taught me from pain or sorrow or depression? What has God taught me through waiting? What has God taught me through illness? What has God taught me through disappointment? What have I learned from my family, my church, my relationships? Somebody give an example, an illustration of what they learned from someone else, a mother, a wise person, a mentor. Anybody got anything to share? One person. Dale? Anybody? Vicki, anybody want to share one thing that they learned from someone else? Who's talking? Dale from Maine?
Yes.
Announce yourself.
Yeah, my wife. I'm Dale from Maine. I work with Susie and Brian. New tonight. Welcome, everybody. Thank you. Anyway, my wife's a cancer survivor. And when she was hit with cancer, I was not a believer as she was. And it was her faith that brought her through. Her whole deal was God's got a plan, and I really wasn't much into the plan myself. I didn't know where I fit in. I felt helpless. And long story short, she's been with us 23 years now, had other scares, and each time God had been faithful and true and has brought us through. And through that, I know He still creates miracles because her last scare, the surgeon goes, I know what I've seen, I know what I took out, and he goes, and I can't believe I'm telling you this, he goes, you're my miracle girl, he goes, I don't know how to explain it. And my wife said, well, thank you, and he goes, no, thank you for giving me back my belief in God, because all the while she told him, God's got this, I'm not worried about it, and he just looked at her, you know, and when it came through, it was just, it was worth it. It was her word. She goes, well, it was well worth it. You know, and so be it. But, yeah, it was truly a miracle. He still creates miracles, and we just seem to forget so soon, you know. We really do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing, Dale. Thank you. Brother Eric, you on the line?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to tell you what I learned, and I actually learned this from a pastor, Dr. Reverend Richard Wilson, West Friendship Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. I happened to do a stint there with an organization in the early 90s. And, you know, I kind of grew up in church, you know, kind of was, you know, in church and, you know, go to Sunday school, learn the lessons, be in church. you know, hit her pastor preach, and you know, kind of grew up in church. Don't say I, you know, was really convicted or converted at that time. Baptized at 17. And, you know, all of you heard me tell that story. I just went down a dry devil and came up a wet one because there wasn't a whole lot of change. But on Christmas in 1982 was a spiritual baptism, and that did bring about the change. But in my stint in Jacksonville, Florida, and working with West Friendship and Reverend Wilkins, he taught me this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your path. That was the first time that somebody took the time to explain to me that God really has a path to you. Now, you may think you have one for yourself, and you may try to achieve that path. But if you call yourself a Christian and you love God, then at some point in time, you're going to have to get on God's plan, one way or another. And it may not always be the way that you think. And he helped me to understand that, which gave me clarity on what my path needed to be in working with people. Because prior to that, I had spent years at working at General Motors. And while they paid well, it wasn't fulfilling work. And I kind of figured that out, but how do you not take the money, you know? I mean, because that's what we're taught. You know, you take the good job. You take the most paying job. You know, you find a way to make that work for you, but it didn't work for me. But Reverend Wilson actually helped me and taught me to understand that I needed to trust God and not lean to what I thought was the best for me, but what God knew was best for me. And that's the path that I've been on ever since. And it's taken me through some valleys. It's taken me through some hardships. But I do know that if it's God's way, then it's going to be all right. Because it ain't where you start out. It ain't what you go through. It's where you end up. So.
Amen. 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 So God has been blessing us with these awesome testimonies tonight as we are in the process of understanding that we're trying to, what we need to do to share our life messages, understand our testimony, how our relationship began with Jesus, looking at our life lessons, the most important ones that God has given us as part of our curriculum, our resume. And the next thing we want to look at is our life message includes sharing our godly passions, the very things, the issues that God has excited us and given us to care about the most. The scripture says, a man's heart determines his speech. Two examples are David says, my zeal for God and his work burns hot within me. And Jeremiah said, your message burns in my heart and bones. I cannot keep silent. Those are people talking about their passion. I heard somebody say, and it was like fire, shut up in my bones. Come on, somebody. Y'all remember that. And God gives us a godly passion to champion different causes and to speak out for issues. So the question I have for you, we can get a couple of people who are willing to share what are the things, just name a couple of things that God has given you passion about to further God's kingdom. God gives people passion to speak up for a group of others who can't speak for themselves, the unborn, the persecuted, the poor, the mistreated. The question again is, what has God given you as a passion to further God's kingdom? What has God given you as a passion to further God's kingdom? Who's going to volunteer this one? Anybody?
Brother Mateo, I will.
Brother Mateo.
Brother Mateo. All right, God's given me the ability to speak. And I've done some things in my life before I was saved. I was raised believing in Jesus Christ. I stayed off the path a few times. And I've done some things in my life I'm not so proud of. So those things bother me. God put me in a position where I can help people that are in prison. I can help people that are poor and help people that are suffering. And a lot of that is beyond monetary work. I'm able to help people by talking to them and showing them pure love, because God brought someone in my life that showed me what love really is. And I learned what
Amen.
Love was. It was even deeper when I learned how Christ loves. And I really, really learned what love was. So now I'm able to turn around and give that love back to people. And most of it is through speech, but it ends up in hugs. So that's what Christ is.
Amen.
That's what God is. He's given me the power of speech, and I've been trying to use that to my ability.
Amen, Brother
Amen.
Mateo.
So let me ask the question, Brother Mateo, out of curiosity. You know, for a man, how does that manifest? And I'm asking this because we have so many macho men. So as a man, how has God shown you that it's okay to love? How is that? Does that ever come across as an issue that, you know, for the world sees it as you machismo, but God takes you to a different place? Can you explain a little bit of that, just quickly?
Yeah, I've always been a macho person. I've always been like a man's man. But once you humble yourself to Jesus Christ and you realize that the things that are worldly are no longer important, so I don't even think about that anymore. I'm the first one to throw my hands up,
Amen.
Hug people. I talk to Brother Brian, who's on the line, often, and I never hang up without saying I love you. So once you start understanding what true love is and humbling yourself, machismo and all that other stuff, you don't even think about it anymore because it's invalid.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much. Who on the line can share another one as we go on? Another passion from those who've been quiet tonight. Who would like to speak? Joan, who'd like to share something? Sherry, who'd like to share,
All right.
share something?
Good evening, everyone. This is Joan from Maine. I've been listening. Anyway, what I could share, there's a lot of things I could share, and it's much more of a joy when I listen to everybody as well. What I've learned is knowing about what God created me of, and that was a difficult thing. And then when I found out the passion that I have had is, I have sensitive. The sensitivity that I have is being caring. I could hear, I could feel people's emotion. I could hear when, I could feel them when they're happy. And on the good part and the happiness is, I should be so childlike when I see that as well, and it affects me heartfully. On the
Amen.
Sad part, say I feel them and I listen to it and it just affects me. So I guess I have to talk to God about that because I don't know what direction is that after that. Then he uses me. That's when I felt that I'm using. And then with that, when I start feeling and understanding that, it becomes more a passion and compassion. And that's not really me. He's showing me the compassion of God and the passion of God. So that's
Amen.
A lesson learned that I have had. And I enjoy it now.
And that's very
that's
powerful. That is very powerful. To be able to have passion and compassion for other people, to feel their pain, and then to be able to, you know, ask God what to do with that pain, because you've taken on some of that, and that's because you're authentic, and that is genuine and awesome. Thank you for caring about God's people in that special way. As we go on, and go ahead. Did I hear somebody talking?
No, I just said that was awesome.
Amen, amen. So we have looked at a couple of things here. We've talked about a testimony, life lessons, godly passions, and we want to look at the good news, salvation story. So we want to talk about the salvation story. Your life message includes the good news. The good news shows how God makes people right with himself, that it begins and ends with faith. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. That is from the Word of God. So the good news is that when we trust God's grace to save us through what Jesus did, our sins are forgiven. Amen? Then we get
Amen.
A purpose for living.
Amen.
And we're promised a future home in heaven. Now, we can all shout right here.
Amen.
But
Amen.
All the training in the world doesn't motivate us to witness, right? So we have to have... So let me ask you a question. What is it that will motivate you? And if everybody could share this quickly, what is it that motivates you or will motivate you to witness? What is it that motivates you or will motivate you to witness? So if you've been afraid to share the good news with those around us, ask God to fill your heart with his love. So tell us tonight what will motivate you. Go ahead, Brian.
This is Brian. What motivates me is the difference between what I used to be and what I am now. I'm looking for opportunities now to help others, to witness to others. I understand the immediacy of sharing the gospel because I understand now, from a human perspective, the importance of eternity compared to the short, simple life we have here.
Yeah.
So I am motivated by an urgency that time is short for everyone, not just myself, but
mm-hmm.
time is short for a 10-year-old, time is short for a 20-year-old, and that motivates me.
Amen. Anybody else?
Brother McKay.
This is Mark.
Oh.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead,
Brother McKay.
Mateo's going to go right after you. Go ahead. He got it. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. What motivates me is my experience with God and my opportunity to be a vessel. I think it's an awesome experience when you truly have an experience with God. And when things happen where you have no control and you show and he demonstrates his extraordinary when you're ordinary, it's an awesome experience. So I look forward, you know, just to have that relationship and how he shows himself every single day where I can't even understand, but I do have expectation, and he does it.
Amen. Brother Mateo.
I agree.
Awesome, Mark. Awesome.
Yeah, it's Brother Mateo. I got a physical and a spiritual one. The physical one is more like, you know, being around the coolest person in the world. Like, there's nothing else I want, like a desire, a physical desire. There's nothing else I want in this world more than being on God's side and God looking at me and smiling and being happy when my name is mentioned. There's nothing in the world more important to me than that, first of all. And nothing more fearful than Jesus saying, get away from me, I don't know you. So that physical desire of wanting to be with God is like the greatest thing for me. The spiritual part of it is the fact that God will use the Holy Spirit through me to go out and help someone else. Like out of all the things that God has done for me in my life, it brings me nothing but pleasure and joy to mention his name to someone who does not understand how important he is.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So what are you all willing to do so that people you know will go to heaven? And I challenge you because we got a Bible study. People have churches, and many of their churches don't even do Bible study. We talked about this, so that's why we made Bible study available so that people could study and know the Word and encourage them to go to church, encourage them to assemble themselves, encourage them to talk to their neighbor or their loved one. I have people, I gotta tell you that I don't know if I've been a vessel or not, but I know I got a whole bunch of people when I go to Maine that talk to me about the Lord. I know a whole bunch of people that when I go to work, we pray. So it's something about who you are. You have to carry yourself in a way and be intentional so that you will draw people to you to talk about the Lord. So what are you willing to do tonight? Can anybody testify or give a sample of what you do? How are you going to be intentional after even tonight's Bible study? I'm not saying you haven't done anything, but have you made a commitment tonight? I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to at least five people this week. What is on your heart? What is God telling you? What are you going and willing to do now that it's on your heart to share your life message? The Bible says, make the most of your chances to tell others the good news. Be wise in all your contacts with them. Is anyone going to be in heaven because of you? Will anybody be there? Because you took the time that you sacrificed?
We must. It's urgent.
Amen.
God's five purposes for our life on earth is he made us to be a member of God's family, a model of his character, two, a magnifier of his glory, three, a minister of his grace, four, and a messenger of his good news to other people.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Susie, this is Brett.
We have to fulfill our message. Go ahead, Brett. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been pretty quiet tonight, and the reason for that is because I know there's a lot in this message, but ever since, let's see, I was ordained in 1983, so 1980, I've been telling people more and more about how God has been good to me and what the good news is when it comes to the Bible. And you and I have had some discussions about the Bible, and you gave me some insight along with Eric and everybody else that was on the Bible study when we first started out, because I asked some questions that some people asked me. And it seems stupid to me, but hey, you guys gave me the credit on how to respond to that. So I've been so thankful, because at every opportunity I have somebody that contacts me either through Facebook, or I had a cousin call me from California, and while she was talking to me, she was telling me about her and somebody having a discussion about the Bible and what she believed was entirely wrong. And so when I took her to the chapter and text, she understood what I was talking about and how the other person was actually correct in this discussion. But see, the thing is, a lot of people, they assume things and don't really read the Bible. So therefore, we come up with myths about the Bible. And so we have to know what we're talking about as a Christian.
Amen. But we don't have to be a theologian to share our life message. And that's what tonight's message is about. Thank you, Brett, for being able to take us to the Word. I appreciate that. But tonight what we want you to be able to do is understand how your relationship began with Jesus, one. Number two, what are the most important life lessons that God has taught you through relationships and people and situations? That's when I talked about doing your Christian resume of hope, you know, with your testimony. And then looking at the godly passions, what issues God has given you to care about the most. So when you're going and sharing and living your life for the Lord and ultimately sharing the good news of salvation. This is how God wants to share us to share our life message. Amen. So let me ask as we close tonight, if everybody could share one thing to our radio listeners as they go home on what they have as a take home from tonight. So I'm going to start off with phone number 207-649, you know the rest. Would you share tonight one thing that you get out of the lesson?
That's Brian Mitchell's phone number.
Okay.
What I got out of tonight's message is that many of my Christian brothers and sisters face the same circumstances that I do, where we're really looking for opportunities. We can sense those opportunities to witness. We know we have to do it. We know it's not really a choice. So we look for the opportunities that come up that present themselves for us to shine the message through and to share the gospel and to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. And it's always encouraging to hear stories from other people who are doing the same thing.
Amen. Amen. Can we get a feedback from the 917-565 number on one thing that you have as a take-home?
This is Brother Mateo. That's my number. Tonight, I gotta take it that every time I get into a group of people that are talking about the Lord, I can always see the body formed. I can always see one person has this gift, another person has that gift, someone has two or three gifts, but together collectively, we all form the body. And no matter what group of people that I get around that when we're talking about Jesus Christ, I always see the body form. So when I look at this group tonight and listen to people talking about passion, people talking about speaking, physical help, spiritual help, I just saw that manifested again, and it was beautiful.
Amen, amen. Brother James from 937, can you share with us tonight one take home? Whoever has the 937 number, can you share with us? I'm sorry, looks like Brother Ivan. 93771, that one. Would you please share one take home, if you can? If you can't, I'll just keep rolling because you might be at work. Okay, the 317 number, Brother Mark, can you share one thing, take home?
My take home is God is not through with us yet.
Amen. Amen. God is not through with us yet. The 207-897, can you share? You have to get off mute.
I guess yes, indeed. yes. The one that I need to take home is keep hoping, keep believing and hoping. That's one thing that I have learned is just make sure that the message goes. Message is all about Jesus, and believe and hope that they will be overcome.
Amen. Amen. 207-21. Would you share?
Yeah, my share
is... You have to get off mute.
I'm not on mute. Can you hear me?
Okay. We hear you now.
Yeah. Yep. That no matter your story, you're a work in progress. And even though you're a work in progress, you can always share your story with somebody and bring them closer to God. And they can see
amen,
you
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And if we could hear, if there's anybody who was left that didn't share, we have two people left. Would you please share what you got out of the lesson tonight? And Eric, if you could close with prayer and an invitation. Anybody else like to share? Take home? All right.
This is Chris. It is so important as a Christian that when we are talking to people that are hurting, something has happened in your life that you can find a equal footing with somebody, because God has put all of us through a lot of stuff. Sometimes you don't know that God has had you even before you became a Christian. And the thing is that we have to understand that those times that we could have died and we didn't, somebody helped you. And that was an angel. God has messengers all around you. That's why there's nothing Amen. That you can do behind closed doors, pull the shades. I don't care what you do. God still does. And we got to be able to come with the good news and tell people about how good God is and what he's done for us and how he's changed you and how he has made your life better. We all have to go through things. Because
Amen.
Being a Christian is about learning, and sometimes learning comes through disappointment. Sometimes learning comes through hurt. Sometimes learning comes through pain. And the thing is, you have to understand, God has a purpose for everything.
All right, Brother Eric.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your kindness and mercy. Most of all, we thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Always thank you for Jesus, Father, because without him, we wouldn't have the opportunity to be in that presence, Father, because we were filthy rags. We had no right to be in your presence, but you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, the blood sacrifice, to give us the opportunity to come before your throne of mercy, Father. And we are humbled to do that this evening, Lord. An opportunity to share your word and to find out what it is that you would have us to do. Because so many times we believe that just because we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, that's it, that we've got the Holy Grail and that all is well and we don't need to do anything. But you saved us to be a light in this world, Father, because you love everyone. You didn't make any mess. You didn't make any junk. We become that because of our choices and our decisions, Father, but you want us all to be saved, and you want everyone to have the opportunity to know that you are a loving God, that Christ spread his arms on the cross to show us that he loved us that much. And so, Father, we are grateful for this study tonight, Father, so that we can find out that we need to be your messengers, Father, and how we can do that, telling our life story, talking about our salvation, and telling others the good news, most importantly the good news, that Jesus is the one who saved, that you loved us enough that you watched your own Son die. So we're grateful, Father. We ask that you would bless each and every one listening, Father, that you would touch their heart, their mind, their soul, and their ministry so that they may continue to study and be approved and to deliver your word to this dying world, Father. The time is running out, Lord, when we look around and see the viruses and see the riots and the chaos, see the lack of leadership, and see all that we just think that's all good. Time is running out for us, Lord. We know not the day, the time, or the hour. We know that's predicated to you. But if we study your word, we know that time is short. And so for those of us, Father, who believe your word and trust you enough to ask your guidance and direction that we may be the light until you say enough is enough, I ask that you would strengthen us all to do so, Father, and give us the strength in our minds, our bodies, our heart, and our souls, and most of all, the strength to tell
all right.
those that are lost about you. So that is the best thing that we can do. And so if you are listening to our study tonight and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and think that you are not good enough because your life is not in order the way that you think a Christian ought to be, just pray this prayer because you are ready. And say, Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come into my life to be Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender myself to you knowing that I need you in my life. I want you in my life to give direction and meaning. And I want you to show me, Lord, through your word, through your teachings, how I can best serve you. For I know that you love me, Father, for your word tells us that Christ died for us. And if Christ died for us, then we could die to our sins, and then we would be raised again with Jesus Christ, everlasting. So, Father, hear my humble request for those folks, Father. And you know that if you pray that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God who was died on the cross and rose again from the dead and ascended in heaven, you are saved at this particular point. And we would just ask that you would find a Bible-believing teaching church that you can go and worship and study with to show yourself approved, to get more knowledge and understanding. But you have been saved if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And in that church that they would baptize you for the legal ramification to show the world that you are believing Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening, and God bless each and every one of you.
Thank you, Eric and Dr. Susie. And for everybody that joined us tonight, thank you. Next week, the subject will be Become a World-Class Christian. We are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Invite someone and have them call in with you along to 646-478-4932. Remember, Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. Thank you for being here this week and join us next week. Have a great night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.